Today I would like to deliver a message on the present-day Christian image. I believe that it has been grossly smeared and distorted beyond biblical recognition. I believe the present-day image and depiction of a Christian, especially after the grace changers get done describing the Christian life and their false version of grace, is now an ugly, hypocritical image. What it is a form of godliness, but it denies the power of living above and over and conquering the sinful temptation around us. We're being told that we have to sin all the time, that the Christian is a sinner, that he is not righteous. But none of that matters because of grace. God can't see our sin, our future sins are already forgiven. And the way the Christian is now presented, not only in the church, but also out in the world, the Christian is addicted to sin. He's a defeated person, and everybody is like him. There's really no difference. There is no new creation. When a person is set free from his sin addictions at the point of passing from death to life, from darkness to light, no radical change in his behavior. There are two types of adulterers, two types of liars, two types of murderers, two types of drunkards, two types of homosexuals. One type has salvation, and one type doesn't. According to the grace changers and the false message that we have heard 10,000 times on salvation, behavior doesn't matter for salvation. It's a belief in Jesus that is the all-important vital issue. So what they do, they concoct a definition of belief in Jesus, which is definitely segregated from the biblical meaning of belief in Jesus, which is equated with obeying Jesus. They don't believe it's necessary, and oftentimes the way they teach, it is understood that they really don't believe that it can be accomplished. So what we have are the very ones that profess to be part of Christianity unashamedly describing themselves in a most reprehensible way. So not only is their profession there, but their behavior backs up the very things that they teach in regards to a Christian being a sinner. Now, I believe, based on the Bible, that a Christian is righteous, that he is not a sinner. And the basic reason why all of this misinformation has been communicated about the Christian life, about the Christian image and Christianity as a whole, is because of several basic statements that are being stated directly or indirectly. And they are, Christians are not good. In fact, nobody's good. Christians cannot obey. They have to sin all the time. Christians are sinners, and that they are not righteous, and especially Romans 7:14-25. In that particular chapter of Romans, the Apostle Paul made some statements, a description of the sinful nature according to verse 18, or the flesh, depending what translation you're reading. But the people that have the platform, the ones that have the favor of the publishing companies, as well as the radio and TV for the most part, with the money flooding in, have told us that Romans 7:14-25 is the Apostle Paul was a Christian and normal Christian living. That is a horrible, terrible, despicable thing to say. In fact, it's putting a knife to one's throat. If you understand Romans 7:14-25 as being the normal Christian life, then you have just said that the Christian does evil all the time. Because verse 19, that's Romans 7:19, says this: For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Verse 19 says that particular person or thing continues to do evil and does not do good. Now that's absolutely impossible for the Christian, according to the Bible. That's absolutely a total misrepresentation of the Apostle Paul. The image of the Apostle Paul was exactly the opposite of that. Also, Romans 7:19 is the exact opposite of what the Apostle Paul taught just one chapter prior to that about salvation, the Christian life, and the new creation. Romans 6:18 says, You have been set free from sin, and have become slaves to righteousness. Now notice that. Romans 6:18 says that the saints at Rome, the Christians at Rome, were constantly doing good. They were slaves of righteousness, and they had been set free from sin, unlike the person in Romans 7:19 who continued to do evil. So what we have here, just one chapter apart, is a picture of a Christian, that's Romans 6:18, and in chapter 7, verse 19, a description of something other than a Christian. Very clearly, it cannot be a Christian, not only because of Romans 6:18, but many other scriptures as well, and I'll get into some of them. But we have a very serious problem on our hands because, again, all these different things are being taught. So people are not trying to get the victory over sin. They're religious, they believe the Bible, they send their money in to the preachers, they claim to be Christians, and they readily say that they are in sin. And they're not concerned about repenting or that they can overcome sin. That's not even in the equation as far as their theology is concerned. Their theology doesn't need any of that. Their theology is grace as taught by the once saved, always saved teachers, the Calvinist. And if you believe in once saved, always saved, you are a Calvinist, even though you might not want to identify with Calvinism, which means that Dave Hunt is really a one-point Calvinist, even though he might be repulsed at that statement. It's still nonetheless true. So these grace changers have went ahead and they have distorted this key issue because we're saved by grace. So the whole message of the gospel, the whole message of salvation, the whole Christian image has been distorted because these people are teaching things connected with grace which are not only wrong but exactly the opposite to what the Bible teaches. Just like we see the exact opposite from Romans 6:18 to Romans 7:19, this is all through their teaching, all the way through. They teach if you disown Jesus, he won't disown you, when Jesus said that if you disown him, he will disown you. They tell us you don't have to endure to the end to have salvation, when Jesus said you have to endure to the end to have salvation. And the list goes on and on and on. So we are laboring, true Christians are laboring under this horrible apostasy that we are now in. And it's a horrible apostasy for various reasons. Of course, wickedness is increasing, just like Jesus said would occur in Matthew chapter 24. But wickedness is increasing, it's spreading exponentially to a large degree because of the way the Bible was being taught. And one of the most frustrating things for us is when we see people who know eternal security is false go ahead and embrace the grace changers as though they were great men and women of God, as though they're doing something really great because they might teach against evolution, because perhaps they might teach accurately about the deity of Christ or defend some other basic truth of the Bible. But the fly in the ointment, or much worse than that, the arsenic all over the food, is their version of grace and their idea of the gospel and salvation itself, which again comes right back around to the image of Christianity and the image of a Christian. So the image of a Christian, if you would walk into a once saved, always saved church, is not a holy image. It's not an image where the person is committed and faithfully following the Lord Jesus. If somebody dared say something like that in one of those churches, they would be considered a liar. Over the years, as I have witnessed to people in all kind of different situations, I've run into numerous eternal security people, and I repeatedly get two things from these people. They especially believe that everybody is lusting and everybody is a liar. And I like to tell them, if everybody's a liar, then everyone's going to the lake of fire, because Revelation 21:8 says that liars will go to the lake of fire. And I also like to point out that Jesus clearly said in Matthew 5:28-29 that if you lust, you commit adultery. And he said in verse 29 that such a sin, mental adultery, will send a person to hell. But it doesn't seem to make any difference. They're still not concerned. They still think they're safe to do all those detestable things. Just like we would read in the Old Testament, as God spoke to the prophets, And the deceived people back then thought they were safe in their sin because they had the Ark of the Covenant right there in Jerusalem. Well, that didn't spare them of God's wrath and God's judgment. And it's not going to spare anybody today, even though they were once truly regenerated, if afterwards they went back as a dog returns to his vomit, like Peter said, does happen. So we now have people on the road to hell that think they are irrevocably going to heaven in their sins, which they think the all-knowing God cannot see and has already forgiven even before they were committed. Because, of course, they like to link it to a biblical term such as the cross or the infinite work of Christ, they tell us. But while the cross is true and the infinite work of Christ is true, their understanding of both is far from being biblical. So let's take a look at some of these things that they bring up. I mentioned the gross distortion of the image of the Apostle Paul from Romans 7:14 through 25, which is a travesty not only to him but to the whole image of Christianity because of the way that is taught and has been taught for a long time. I'm saying a century or more. If a person would take the time to read through the New Testament, and you need to make sure you take the time to do that, and list the different descriptions of the real Apostle Paul, he or she would find out that Paul, without question, was consistently holy, spiritual, courageous, zealous, and self-sacrificing as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the exact opposite of how Romans 7:14 through 25 would describe Paul if that truly was Paul. And let me say this, after reading and studying the Bible for over 30 years, the greatest example of a Christian of all time is the Apostle Paul. So I really get offended and bothered when people attack him and slander the Apostle Paul in that way. For people to try to say that Romans 7:14 through 25 is Paul was a Christian is demonic and nothing better. It cannot be Paul, the loving, faithful, truth-exalting Apostle Paul as shown in the Bible. We are in an apostasy. For people to accept this kind of teaching shows they are not reading the Bible. They don't have much of a clue what's being said. And when people like us speak out against these errors, oftentimes we are attacked. We are rejected. We are not the ones that are helped. It's the enemy, the ones that are teaching the false message, that gets the help and the support, rather than somebody that's standing for a committed, godly, holy, faithful walk to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a scripture in 1 John chapter 2, which is extremely relevant at this point. The Apostle John said this, "We know we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him." If Romans 7:14 through 25 was the Apostle Paul as a Christian, then John just called the Apostle Paul a liar. Now, of course, I'm not saying that John did call him a liar. I said if Paul was describing himself as a Christian in Romans 7, but he wasn't. And because we have 1 John chapter 2, 3, and 4, we can see the folly, the fallacy in attributing and believing the present-day common interpretation of Romans 7, that the perseverance of the saints' teachers, the eternal security teachers, have been giving us. It's a dangerous scriptural distortion of not only the Apostle Paul, but of the Christian as well. In Luke chapter 8, verse 21, the Lord Jesus said, "My mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice." So if that is true, and of course we do know it's true because Jesus never lied and Jesus flatly, clearly told us who the Christians are in Luke 8:21, they hear God's word and they put it in practice, then the person in Romans 7:14 through 25 is not a Christian, not part of Jesus' spiritual family, not his spiritual mother or brothers, because that person is not putting into practice God's word. The Lord Jesus also said this, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Now, the Romans 7:14 through 25 person is not doing the will of the Father. Instead, he's an evildoer. The evildoer of Matthew 7:23, that Jesus will say to him, "Away from me, you evildoer," or evildoers, is what that person will hear. But we are being told that that is the Christian, the normal Christian life. In Galatians 6:7 through 9, the Apostle Paul himself wrote this. Now, this should help clear up this issue, but for some, even this won't do it. They want to continue believing that a Christian is a person that sins all the time, etc. Those verses say, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Galatians 6:7 through 9. Now notice, don't be weary in doing good. The person in Romans 7:14 through 25 wasn't able to do good. Not only that, according to Paul, the real grace teacher, in Galatians 6:7 through 9, it's the one who sows to please the Spirit who will reap eternal life. That is not the person of Romans 7:19. The person of Romans 7:19 is sowing to please his sinful nature or his flesh, and he will reap destruction. That person's on the road to hell. Not a Christian, not a saint, and we should not use that ever again to say it was. The Apostle Paul described himself in various ways, which also refutes this common error in the interpretation of Romans 7. Paul said this, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. So the Apostle Paul was even obedient in his thought life. But that's not all. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, the Apostle Paul said that he would beat his body and make it his slave, so that after he preached to others, he himself would not be a castaway. So his body was a slave. And according to Acts 23, verse 1, the Apostle Paul continued with a good conscience, which would not be possible if a person was yielding to sin, especially as the Romans 7:14 through 25 interpretation of Paul would say. And after just those three verses where the Apostle Paul describes himself, just those three, not going beyond them, the Apostle Paul could say accurately, 1 Thessalonians 2:10, "You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed." So Paul said he was holy, righteous, and blameless, which again is not the image that people want to believe of the Apostle Paul. And the reason they don't want to believe that is because if the Apostle Paul was holy, righteous, and blameless, then they would know they have access to the same grace, and therefore they too could be holy, righteous, and blameless. But if he never was, then they don't need to worry about it, because he wasn't even that way, and therefore they could never be holy, righteous, and blameless. But the Bible teaches that he was. And in regards to this issue of him being the chief of sinners, this comes up in 1 Timothy. Here's an adjoining passage the eternal security people like to throw out, along with the Romans 7:14 through 25 passage. And that's where Paul said, depending what translation you're using, he said, "I am the worst of sinners," or "the chief of sinners," in 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16. But unfortunately, the people that teach that way have not noticed the verses before, or if they have, they totally ignore them, because the context shows that he is teaching about his life prior to regeneration. That is before he became a Christian. He said, "I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man." And that describes Saul of Tarsus before he became the Apostle Paul. He was once, past tense, blasphemer, persecutor of the Christians, and a violent man. But Paul changed because he got saved. He became a new creation. He became committed. He turned from his idols to serve the true and the living God. And consequently, he was no longer doing those things. Now, this is what the eternal security people will say, though. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1, I am is present tense, I am the chief of sinners. So it can't be his past life, it's his present life as a Christian. But such people overlook that the Apostle Paul also said in Acts 23, verse 6, I am, present tense, a Pharisee. And if you're acquainted with what the Apostle Paul wrote and what he taught and what he fought against, he certainly was not believing like the Pharisees. And that is especially clear in his epistle to the Galatians, where he opposes various Pharisaical practices and doctrines. Much more of this is shown in our book, The Believer's Conditional Security. So if you have a copy, you can read many pages about this very issue. It's a sub-issue of eternal security. Now, this brings up another issue. Ray Comfort is a man that is especially known, probably more than anyone else, in evangelistic circles. People like to use his salvation literature, quote-unquote salvation literature, his gospel tracts, because it looks like money. There's very little persecution, very little opposition when you're handing out literature like that. And Ray Comfort has also come up with a particular evangelistic technique. And his technique really says, in essence, that a person is not a good person. It's implied that not even a Christian is a good person. People that have used that approach think that nobody's a good person. And unfortunately, Ray Comfort has done much harm to this issue as well. Now let's look at this issue of a good person. In Matthew 5, verse 49, Jesus said, speaking of God, he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. According to the Lord Jesus, a person is either evil or good. And if they're not good, they must be evil. And evil is equated to the unrighteous. And if you're unrighteous, that means you're not righteous. But Jesus said here in Matthew 5:45 that there are righteous people. So somebody out there is righteous. There are righteous people, according to Jesus, just like there are good people, according to Jesus. Now, myself, I'm a Christian. I am a good person. I am a righteous person. I'm following Jesus. I'm obeying him. I'm doing his will, putting into practice his truth. Now, this is a very important concept. I want you to grab hold of this. If you're not a good person, you are, as I said a minute ago, an unrighteous person. And if you're an unrighteous person, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. But again, righteous people do exist. There are numerous people in the Bible which are specifically called righteous. Noah, Joseph, Simeon, Abel, Zechariah, Lot, Abraham, and they're just some of the few. So there are righteous people. Now people will say then, well, wait a minute. If there are righteous people, then what do you do with the scripture that says there's none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3:10? And that is exactly what the grace changers will bring up. I remember I handed salvation literature to a woman. The woman was the wife of a Baptist minister. So we started talking about once saved, always saved. I wanted her to know that I am a no eternal security person. I'm a no eternal security Christian. We brought up this issue of being righteous, and she gave me Romans 3:10. She thought there's none righteous. In spite of the fact that the Bible says that the people I just cited a few minutes ago, Noah, Lot, Abraham, etc., were righteous, she's clinging to the scripture that there's none righteous. And may I add, also ignoring the context of Romans chapter 3. Romans 3 tells us that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. So in other words, before salvation, the Jews and the Gentiles, everybody, they are all unrighteous. And that's evident by their behavior as well as their words. So there are none righteous in God's eyes before salvation, but after salvation, most definitely, there are righteous people. There are good people. And repeatedly in the Bible, the righteous are referred to, or the righteous are described. I'll give you an example. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, Jesus said, "Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." So Jesus said, it's the righteous who will go to eternal life. So who are these righteous people? In 1 John 3, 7 and 8, we read this. "Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray." Now, this is very important for this message, for this sermon, for this topic, the image of Christianity. Listen, "Dear children, don't let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous." Now, we can stop right there. He who does what is right is righteous. We are being told there's none righteous, and we're being told we have to sin all the time. And that the person in Romans 7:19 was a Christian, and he continued to do evil. all the time, habitually practiced evil, is what Romans 7:19 says. But this passage, 1 John 3:7 and 8 says, he who does what is sinful is of the devil. But does that make any difference to you? Dear listener, does that passage make any difference to you at all? I have no doubt there will be people that will hear this message and just absolutely reject it. To them, this means nothing. They have heard 10,000 sermons to the opposite. And just like an indoctrinated Jehovah's Witness who hears the truth but casts it aside because he thinks of the 10,000 times that would conflict with 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Well, here, let me give you another scripture. The Apostle Paul, getting back to Romans 6 again, Romans 6:16, the Apostle Paul wrote this, "Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one who you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness." So you're either a slave to sin or a slave to obedience. And if you're a slave to obedience, that leads to righteousness. We're being told that Christians are not a slave to obedience. Instead, they're a slave to sin. And if you emphasize obedience, that's legalism. You're teaching a work salvation, they're telling us. We're not teaching a work salvation. We're magnifying the message of the Bible. Jesus said, his spiritual family, hear his word and put it into practice. The Apostle Paul here, the real grace teacher, said in Romans 6:16, a slave to obedience, well, that leads to righteousness. So hopefully this is starting to clear up the false image of Christianity and the false image of a Christian that we have been bombarded with is starting to become apparent. Folks, do Christians sin all the time? Do Christians sin all the time? As I mentioned already in this message, we have been told that they do, but it really doesn't matter because you cannot out-sin the grace of God. Now, that's an exact quote-unquote from Charles Stanley, and everybody knows Charles Stanley. He's all over everywhere. They love that man. Well, if Christians sin all the time, that's saying then that Christians cannot obey, that Christians cannot resist the devil, and that Christians cannot crucify the flesh, which is clearly taught throughout the Bible. The Bible clearly says that we can obey. And not only can we obey, eternal salvation goes to those who do obey, according to Hebrews 5, verse 9. So those that obey God and get eternal salvation are not sinning all the time in thought, word, and deed, as we have been told. Jews say they do not have the Spirit of God, and that explains why they cannot see the approximate 7 parables which teach a conditional security. The parables were given to conceal truth from people that are outside of salvation and reveal truth to people that are inside the spiritual family. These people don't have the Spirit, and the grace changers have twisted and distorted the very image of a Christian. Now let me throw out this, and I do believe without question we are all going to be in agreement that there has been and will yet be Christian martyrs. Now ask yourself this question. Does the Romans 7:14 through 25 passage describe a Christian martyr? Could it be a Christian martyr? Could a Christian martyr be mentioned as one who does not do the good he wants to do? He continues to do the evil he does not want to do. Never. That is not a Christian martyr. That is not the image of a Christian. Was not the image of the Apostle Paul. And it's certainly not describing the present day Christian. Present-day Christian is no different from the first century Christian. He is a person who is following Jesus and doing the will of the Father. Again, the image of a Christian now is a sinister, evil, ugly portrayal. It's a counterfeit. It's a person that lacks power. He has the faith of demons and only a form of godliness. People in our hour have heard the once saved, always saved lie, and they have accepted and treasured and defended that doctrine. And the people that do that are people who love a lie. And it says in Proverbs 17:4, a wicked man listens to evil lips. A liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. Just like the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4, people have sought out teachers to declare the type of message they want to hear. There's a vast difference between the Christian presented by the eternal security teacher and the Christian described in the Bible. The difference is as far as heaven is from the lake of fire. One is obeying, one isn't. One's following Jesus and the other can disown him, live in sin habitually, like Romans 7:19 would say, according to their interpretation, and still have salvation. So what do these people do? The grace changers deny that a Christian obeys. They say he sins all the time. So they come up with a lesser understanding of the Christian life to be more compatible to yielding to wickedness. So they say this: a real Christian fights against sin, and he feels sorry when he yields. In contrast, the false convert doesn't. And they also say the real Christian slips into sin, while the false convert dives into sin. That's not what we read in 1 John chapter 2, 3, and 4, is it? Was that what we read? Absolutely not. John simply stated this: we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. It says nothing about fighting against sin and yielding to it being a sign that a person is a Christian, even if he would feel sorrowful. Folks, there are ungodly, wicked people that feel sorry after they would murder a person or do some other things, and they have never had salvation. These people that are teaching us are not qualified to teach. These are blind guides. I know that sounds like a hard statement to say. They don't know God according to Jude. According to Jude, they do not know God. Their image of a Christian is a slave to sin. Not somebody that's a real Christian. Not somebody that has experienced a new creation and freedom from sin's addictions. Because of all these teachings and all these misconceptions of the Christian life and grace and salvation and the gospel, we're going to go deeper and deeper and deeper into wickedness and false doctrine to pave the way for the Antichrist, which is exactly what must happen according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There must be the great apostasy prior to the rise of the Antichrist. Folks, we are now in an apostasy, but unfortunately, it's going to get darker. Believe the Bible, draw near to God, get sin out of your life, and remember, if you're a real Christian, you have the best that this life can offer. Keep your eyes on Jesus, your hand to the plow, and don't look back. And victory is not how long you live. It's not how much money you accumulate. Victory is dying with a pure heart so that you can enter the kingdom of God and escape eternal damnation. God bless you.